Hello and welcome to the World Transformation Movement's Freedom Essay Series. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape and this is Freedom Essay 41. Is Science's Scorn of Religion Legitimate? Written by Jeremy Griffith, 2017. Many scientists scorn religion. But as the three previous Freedom Essays, 38, 39 and 40 showed, now that we have the scientific explanation of the human condition, see video or essay 3, we can see how extraordinarily insightful some religious metaphors are. For example, now that we understand that our angry, egocentric and alienated state was the result of a clash between our emerging consciousness, see Freedom Essay 24, and our pre-established loving instincts, see Freedom Essay 21, we can appreciate just how accurate the biblical story of Adam and Eve, Moses' 3,500-year-old pre-scientific description of the human condition, is. The book of Genesis' story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden describes the primary situation involved in our human condition of the psychologically upsetting battle that emerged between our instincts and our conscious intellect's search for knowledge. It says Adam and Eve, in other words, we humans, were created in the image of God. Obviously, meaning we once lived in a pre-human condition afflicted state of original innocence, where we were perfectly instinctively oriented to the cooperative, selfless, loving, integrative, godly ideals of life. God being explained in Freedom Essay 23 as being the integrative meaning of life. The Genesis story then says that Adam and Eve were disobedient and ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it was desirable for gaining wisdom. In other words, we developed a conscious mind and free will. The story then says Adam and Eve, that is, we fully conscious humans, then became perpetrators of sin and were regarded as evil, and as a result were banished from the Garden of Eden, of our species' original Edenic state of innocence, the dictionary definition of Edenic being the first home of Adam and Eve, a state of innocence, bliss, or ultimate happiness. So the story recognized that our fallen, corrupted, angry, egocentric, and alienated, psychologically upset, human condition-stricken state developed, which then, through gaining wisdom, had to be understood in order for us to become like God, knowing good and evil. A state of psychologically relieving and rehabilitating understanding that has now arrived and is presented in Freedom. We can see that Moses' account of the origins or genesis of the human condition recognizes the elements of an original instinctive orientation which then came into conflict with a conscious mind. All Moses lacked to fully explain the human condition was the scientific explanation of the difference between genes and nerves, which defends our disobedience. It is this explanation that is presented in Freedom and video or essay 3 that finally allows us to understand that even though we became immensely psychologically upset sufferers of anger, egocentricity and alienation for participating in humanity's search for knowledge, we weren't evil. In fact, we are the heroes of the story of life on earth. However, this redeeming insight that Moses lacked the scientific knowledge to be able to explain was to take a further 3,500 years to discover. It is of some significance that while Moses' account is perhaps the most widely recognized, virtually all religions contain a metaphor about the rise of consciousness corrupting an innocent state. As the author Richard Heinberg notes in his book Memories and Visions of Paradise, see Freedom Essay 53, for more from Heinberg, along with examples from mythology. Every religion begins with the recognition that human consciousness has been separated from the divine source, that a former sense of oneness has been lost. Everywhere in religion and myth, there's an acknowledgement that we have departed from an original innocence and can return to it only through the resolution of some profound inner discord. The cause of the fall is described variously as disobedience, as the eating of a forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge, and as spiritual amnesia, forgetting, blocking out, alienation, psychosis. So despite the scorn prominent mechanistic scientists have been pouring on religion recently, for example, and you can read more in the previous Freedom Essay 40, evolutionary biologist and famous atheist Richard Dawkins has said, "Faith seems to me to qualify as a kind of mental illness." And, "Faith is one of the world's great evils, comparable to the smallpox virus, but harder to eradicate. The whole subject of God is a bore. Those who teach religion to small children are guilty of child abuse." And the founder of sociobiology, E.O. Wilson, has said, "What's dragging us down is religious faith. I would say that for sake of human progress, the best thing we could possibly do would be to diminish to the point of eliminating religious faith." It turns out that the scientific explanation of the human condition, now that it has arrived, is in accord with the religious one, which should come as no surprise, really, because as the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Charles H. Townes said, "They, science and religion, both represent man's efforts to understand his universe and must ultimately be dealing with the same substance. As we understand more in each realm, the two must grow together. Converge they must." My headmaster at Geelong Grammar School and great denial-free thinking prophet, see Freedom Essay 39 for an explanation of prophets, Sir James Darling, similarly spoke the truth when he said that the scientist can no more deny or devaluate the truths of spiritual experience than the theologian can neglect the truths of science. And the two truths must be reconcilable. And it must be of importance to each of us that they should be reconciled. How right Townes and Darling were. Now that we have the true human condition confronting scientific explanation of the human condition, we can appreciate just how profound religious descriptions of the human condition were. As all four of these religion-deciphered essays, Freedom Essays 38, 39, 40 and 41, evidence. Finally, it should be pointed out that not only ancient thinkers like Moses recognized the true instinct versus intellect elements involved in the human condition, but also many contemporary thinkers whose work you can read about in Freedom Essay 53. Here ends Jeremy Griffiths' essay. You've been listening to Freedom Essay 41, which you can read by clicking on the Read Essay button on your device or by going to the WTM homepage at www.humancondition.com, where all the essays and videos can be found. To learn more about a topic that was raised in this podcast, please go to the written version of the essay because it includes references to other relevant Freedom Essays as well as the sources of any quotes used. You can watch Jeremy Griffiths' breakthrough redeeming explanation of the human condition in Freedom Essay 3, or read Chapter 1 of Freedom. You can also read more about the relationship between science and religion while the journey to find understanding was underway in Chapter 4 of Freedom, specifically paragraphs 326 to 328. These essays were composed between 2017 and 2019 by Jeremy Griffiths, Damon Isherwood, Fiona Cullen-Ward and Bronnie Fitzgerald at the Sydney WTM Centre. I'm Tim McCartney-Snape. Thanks for listening.